Hey guys, I have a couple messages here from a listener of the podcast. They're very appreciative of our new sponsor, Squatty Potty, and they had a few questions about it. They said, hey, what does a Squatty Potty have in common with an old school artifact deck? Anyone?
It's mono brown.
Wait, really? You actually got it. It is mono brown. All right. Well, that's pretty good. All right. Jason's on a roll here.
Great joke.
Yeah. Let's see if TJ can get the next one. Why aren't Squatty Potties ever listed as near mint?
It's got something to do with letters.
Well, they're never...
MP, MD.
They're never NM. I'll tell you that, because that would be near mint. They are, however,
BM.
You get it?
Oh, Jesus.
It's for Squatty Potty.
I don't like that one because SP is Star City's grading system and LP is everywhere else's, so I negate the premise of that.
Okay, well, DJ says it's a bad premise. All right, on to the Squatty Podcast.
Wait. You only have two?
Yeah, this is... No. The third one is the Squatty Podcast. Did you see what I did there?
I don't like it.
Well, you can blame Jared, who sent me all of these messages today. And, you know, just really wanted to get onto the podcast with him, and there you go.
Does Jared give us money?
I mean, he loses me every time we draft, so that counts,
so no.
Right? That counts.
Look, man, you're going to have to put some more effort in if you want to get on the podcast.
All right, Jared. This was...
And by effort, we mean money.
That's... Money does equate to effort, right? Anyways, if you didn't know, everybody, we are sponsored by Squatty Potty.
SquattyPotty.com/BSB.
You know what, guys? I'm going to break it a taboo
what?
Here. I'm going to break a taboo. And you guys should be proud of me for going outside of my little PC bubble, all right?
I really didn't think you would come on this podcast and break a taboo. Right.
Sorry, it's late. I need to drink more of this beer. I'll have you know that I used my Squatty Potty earlier today, and it was great. Yeah.
So those who don't know, a Squatty Potty is literally just a thing you put on the floor next to your toilet. You pull it out, you put your feet on it, and then it's easier to poop. That's it.
No, it's great. It's awesome because I needed to reach something on a shelf that was a little higher than I could reach, and the Squatty Potty was great. Isn't that how you guys use yours?
No.
Oh.
What did you need to reach in an outhouse?
Well, dang!
I was just like...
The nudie magazines.
Hide them where Marianne can't reach them. They're out of my kids' grasp.
To be fair, so Corbin, the bottom shelf is somewhere your wife can't reach them. She's short. That's what I'm saying. Your wife's like 5 foot.
She is
kind of
short, yeah, I guess.
Yep.
Got it. Got him, coach. You did it. Anyways.
Take that, nice person I met once.
Let you stay at her house, if I recall.
So it's her house.
Of course it's her house. I know how being married works.
All right.
Do you? Because I have, if our conversation earlier has any indication, I have a completely different viewpoint.
Well, DJ, I'm not sure that you're in a marriage so much as like a legally binding contract, such as the one they use in 50 Shades of Grey.
Isn't a marriage just a legally binding contract?
Yeah, but it doesn't have all the same sort of rules that you and Christian Grey have.
Look, man, it's a completely legal marriage. We stood out on that desert and listened to this mousy girl whisper into the wind some words that none of us could hear, and then we ate donuts. If that's not a marriage, then I don't know what is.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you what is. It's the couple that got married at GP Vegas last week. That's what it is.
DJ got married at GP Vegas, but
DJ,
he didn't do it on
DJ
site.
Got married. Yeah, he got married during GP Vegas. That's what DJ did. These people got married.
Yeah, we had to take a 90-minute bus ride out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And it was hot on
that. People got
bus.
Married at GP Vegas. Did I tell this story last week? Last week was a blur. Okay.
Yes, you did.
I won't reiterate it then. But yeah, they got married at GP Vegas. DJ just happened to get married.
Do you
at
follow
the same
them on
time.
Twitter? They're already divorced because. Neither one of them took their vows seriously.
But they had Karn there, like, making sure that it was serious, man.
They had flavor text in their vows. It's not a real marriage.
Wow.
All right.
To be fair, I had my old two-headed giant partner recite the "Marriage is the reason we're gathered here today" speech from Princess Bride at my real, totally not a joke marriage 7 years ago. 7 years ago.
You've been married for 7 years?
Yeah, we're almost done.
Yeah. Had a kid, you're going to have another, then you're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Circle of life.
Weekend Dad. Everybody loves Weekend Dad.
Do they?
Yeah.
No.
Right. Weekend Dad's awesome. He takes you to Chuck E. Cheese and doesn't make you do your homework. Weekend Dad. Rhymes with rad for a reason. All right.
That's a good point. Good point, Jason. You guys want to talk about M19?
Nah.
No.
No. Just no.
Outvoted.
No.
You know, this is a set and it's got cards I like and it's got good reprints. And core sets are boring, and it's full of crap like Divination that you don't want to put in a set that people care about.
Like Dominaria? Divination was a Dominaria.
Look, man.
Not the real Divination, not with the good art.
You mean Council of the Soratami or whatever?
No, the good art Born of the Gods Divination is the only one that matters.
DJ right, knows that was
well, we already did a set review.
Can you guys hear the fourth member of the podcast in the background? Corbin Squeaky Chair.
Wait,
so
wait,
we
wait,
decided
let me,
that.
Allow me to introduce the fourth member of the podcast.
Ugh.
What
so
do you think?
So here's what we decided. Like, Corbin's like, I can't get rid of the squeaky chair. It's a meme. So what we decided is we want people to vote with their dollars. So what you can do is go to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery and donate as little as a dollar to our Patreon. And if you donate a dollar, you can have access to our Discord server where the meme is going full blast. And you can make fun of Corbin, you know, on Discord, personally, to his stupid face, and that's cool. And that's a dollar a month, which is as little as 20 or 25 cents an episode. Patreon.com/brainstormbrewery. When our Patreon gets up to $1,750, we've decided.
Is that really what we're doing? This is what we're doing? You're just guaranteeing that it's never getting fixed.
Yeah, it'll never happen. Remember we said it would never get to 500?
So sorry, JJ. You're going to have to listen to this share when you're editing for the rest of eternity, man.
So when it gets to 1750, Corbin is going to apply some WD-40 to the chair to make it stop squeaking.
I thought it was he had to apply WD-40 to the chip that he has to consume.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's funny story. We were above $1,500, which was our goal
for a minute,
for like 10 minutes, and then someone's like, you know what? I don't want DJ to die.
Yeah,
and
somebody
pulled.
Shout out to that guy
or girl or otherwise.
Yeah.
Or otherwise.
Don't assume. So,
but we were there, and if we had stayed there through the beginning of the month, like when it actually processes, we would have been there. So we're so close.
No. It doesn't have to be there like for the single minute that it processes. It's got to be above for like a month.
For a month,
but like, hey, don't
DJ's just trying to get out of this shit, man.
Look, man, if we get to 1750, 1500 won't matter. It won't matter if it's above 1500 for a minute or.
You can't just like pump up during the 31st and then immediately drop off the next. That doesn't count.
People absolutely did that for the Guy Fieri thing. It's fine. Look,
that
we're growing.
Funny.
We're growing as a Patreon. It's fine. Like, people are supporting us with non-monetary ways by like going to youtube.com/brainstormbrewery and clicking like and subscribe there, liking our Facebook stuff, because they know that if they do that, they have a chance to be entered into a drawing. Corbin, did you ever send that box out?
Yeah, I reached out to the winner and we announced the winner.
Yeah, so we've already done some giveaways. We're going to do more. Just support us. We have really bad for our download numbers for people who listen to just the podcast. Our YouTube could be doing better. So all you need to do is for $0, go to YouTube and just like and subscribe and click finger blast that bell icon so you get a notification.
And
when we put up a new video or brain bite.
www.squattypotty.com/bsb.
You don't have to say www, Corbin. It's the year 2018.
https://www.squattypotty.com/bsb. And yes, by the way, everyone, it does work. Even though it just redirects to squattypotty.com, that's on purpose. That's what it does. It still knows.
It looks like it's not an affiliate link, but it is. If you buy a Squatty Potty through there, we'll get credit for it. And that's a good way to buy something you didn't even know you needed and support our brand.
It's also a good Christmas gift, right? It's a perfect gift for like a – and I realize Christmas is, you know, still months away. But whatever, right? This is the perfect time to get it. You get the squatty potty. It's great when you're doing like a dirty Santa or whatever thing where you know everyone's like stealing gifts. I don't know what everyone calls it in their hometown, but
we don't call it dirty Santa.
But that's what I'm saying. I know that there's different names for it.
That sounds like one of Corbin's bedroom movies.
Yeah, right. No, that's dirty Santa. That's what it's called. That's what it's always been called.
You give her a mustache and call her a ho ho ho.
In multiple circles, that's what it's always been called in my life because you're dirty stealing. Santa. You steal gifts.
Why?
What do you guys call it?
That's a white elephant party?
Yeah, okay. White elephant.
Yeah, that's sure. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I've heard of different things in my life. But point is, it's a perfect gift for that because it's
dirty
funny.
Santa. Hey, sit on my lap, little girl.
Jesus. Anybody watch John Oliver? Dirty Santa. Anybody watch John Oliver last week?
I watched it last week tonight.
Yeah, well, okay. There was a Santa cameo on there.
Cool. So
it's a
that's
Father's Day gift. It's a very early Mother's Day gift.
I don't
want
to harp on Squatty Potty too much. The thing is, it's a joke that they're sponsoring us for sure, but they sent them to us and they actually work. So, like, I feel like it's one of those
that's
things, like, I don't need that. And then you
get
it and you
Jason.
Use it. You're like, I always needed that. Why did I never have this? So we believe in it as a product, and we think that you'll like it.
All right, let's move on. We're going to do a 19 tonight. Let's do Breaking Bulk first.
Breaking Bulk time. Breaking Bulk time. Break.
Oh, yeah, Breaking Bulk. There's so much good stuff.
It's a pick. Breaking Bulk. The end.
DJ's been teasing his for forever, and he's picked a set that has... 60,
see, this is how little cards. DJ wants to do it. He wants this to be a regular episode. He doesn't want to do a set review. So he's like, let's do Pick of the Week and Breaking Bulk.
Well, we're
which
at least
we never
do
Breaking
Bulk
review.
Here because DJ's been teasing it. He's got go ahead, DJ. What set's it from?
Weatherlight, Black Enchantment.
Black Enchantment. So he told me this before
rarity?
The podcast because he told me I wouldn't know it. So I looked, and I didn't know what kind of card it
is. Is it Agonizing Memories?
What?
Agonizing Memories?
No, it has two reprints, by the way.
I looked at Weatherlight. There are 50 different cards that cost 50 cents. So this is stupid.
It's a bad set. It's a very bad set.
It's Bone Dancer.
It's not Bone Dancer. It's a 4 mana black enchantment from Weatherlight.
Bone,
mercy.
That's a $10 rare or something like that.
Yeah, that was a troll. I don't know, man. It's Weatherlight.
It's not Nolrod. Who the hell gives a damn? I don't know, man.
Wave of Terror.
No.
Jason might know this card. It's called Strands of Night.
That's an enchantment?
Does that
Strands
make things
of Night.
Black,
yeah, that's
right?
I know what Strands of Night
black,
is.
Black, pay two life, sacrifice a swamp, so a lot of costs involved. Put target creatures from a graveyard.
Oh.
From
that card's kind of good.
Into play. From, yeah. So
it's a 30-cent card. You did it, DJ.
I thought that was worth money. That's why I didn't pick it. I thought that was like a $3 or $4 rare.
No, that is
reprinted in 6th and 7th edition, huh?
Absolutely.
Interesting. It's a cool card, actually.
Yeah, it was really good in limited.
It's playable. Like, it's a card that you can put in your Reanimator, Shieldra deck, or some sort of like Machias or any sort of like Chainer, maybe. Just like, if you want a reanimation effect and you want it to be reusable and you're playing stuff like Crucible and Lake of the Dead and you don't really care that much about your swamps, then you're good.
Cool.
Alright, Jason, what do you got?
I have an artifact from Amonkhet.
Bantu's Monument.
I mean, Oketra's Monument. Like, three of the monuments are worth money.
Yeah. Oketra makes warriors.
Yeah, Oketra's Monument.
Yep. White creature spells cost one less to cast, which isn't all that relevant in the Gila decks normally, but this is it's a real card, man. It's super recent, but like, don't bulk this out. You know?
That card's so good.
It really is.
You don't understand how good that card is until you play it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
if you're like, oh, it's 3 mana, it doesn't. That card's insane.
Especially in limited. This was nuts. I was playing it in non-white decks in limited.
All right. I've got one that I'm worried about saying because I just don't want to listen to DJ, but I'll say it anyways.
Okay.
One of the things that surprise people with how much money they're worth are tokens and emblems and that sort of stuff, right?
Here we go.
And no one wants to hear DJ go off on this. However, I am picking a token for Magic 2015.
The Hornet Queen.
Hornet Queen is not a token. Sorry, DJ.
Well, you're the Hornet wrong. Queen, the insect, Hornet. The insect 1-1 flying death touch with haste.
Oh, okay. Well, you got it on your second try.
Doesn't have haste.
DJ sucks at this.
Sure.
For what it's worth, by the way.
Corbin finished editing my article, I guess.
Do what? I haven't looked at
I mentioned
No, that. I actually haven't looked at your article.
Really?
Not yet, no.
That's the thing. My second favorite thing is going on Reddit and seeing my old picks of the week from a month ago.
Right.
With someone like, wait, does anyone know why Miri's $15?
Yeah.
Well, no, I just assumed Corbin picked his pick from my article. Because
yeah,
because
you think everybody
gonna...
everywhere steals everything from you because you're the only one allowed to know about Magic cards. We know.
I'm the only one that knows about, like, tokens and shit on this podcast.
Yeah, you're the only one who knows that tokens can be worth money. You did it, DJ.
I literally ended my article this week
I
about the
read
Hornet
your
Queen
article.
Token.
No one read your article.
Which is why I assumed that you...
Anyways,
you wrote my. You're just trolling me at this point. You edited my.
I
article.
Have not edited your article. You can see what. Go look. Go. You can't see because it's not in a Google Drive, man. I've not edited your article. You can see when it's put into the back end. I have not done it. Regardless, this is the point I wanted to make. Insect token.
It's a $3 token.
It leads the way. It's a $3 token. But in Magic 2015, so let me count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The top 7 common and uncommon and otherwise cards worth money in the set, 4 of them are not cards. The token, the Beast token, the Black Beast token, the 3/3 Death Toucher, the Ajani emblem, and the Garrick emblem. Those are more expensive than all but 3 commons and uncommons in the set.
Yep.
And that I thought was just, that's why I highlighted this, because it's just a very interesting stat for something like this, because...
That is very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's... The only ones, Venom Sliver, Reclamation Sage, and Insole Artifact are the only uncommons worth more than those two emblems. So, yeah, it's just something, you know, even in a set that might seem bad for value or bad for picks or whatever, and obviously when someone's picked it to, you get not exactly excited, but yeah, just keep an eye out for all the tokens. Because even, I mean, obviously something like Insect Token is easy to remember because it's $3. But the Beast token, the 3/3 Death Touch Beast Black token, that's something you pass over all the time. Or emblems. And they can be worth real money. And, you know, that's going to be 30, 40 cents on a buy list on a good day.
Also, the League token, the squid, the Island Walking Squid from the M15 League.
Yes.
Is worth like $8.
Yes. Yeah, tokens are secretly big money. It's great, along with basic lands.
And anybody can print a token. That's the crazy thing. You can't counterfeit a Magic card, but like we print tokens all the time. And if you're a Patreon at patreon.com/brainstormbrewery, we will send you some tokens.
That's right.
If you're subscribed at the several dollars level.
All right, so let's get on to the bulk of the episode here. M19, starting at the top in price.
Pass.
Well... Actually, I do want to talk about this, though, because Nicol Bolas the Ravager.
Starting at the top, a booster box of packs.
Well, yeah, right. It's a case is the actual top, right?
$518 for a case?
Yeah.
That's market price?
No, Nicol Bolas is actually really cool, though, right?
Yeah, it's really cool, but it's not $25.
No,
cool,
of course not. But, I mean, we said...
I think here, well, we got some reprints. Some really good mythic reprints that... Nicol Bolas doesn't have to take
right
a ton because it's not playable in as many formats as Crucible or Scapeshift. So like, we're always perplexed on sets that aren't the core set. This is a little more straightforward, which is why we're going to blow through it because Nicol Bolas doesn't have to be worth money. It might, but it doesn't have to.
I think it will be just because it's really awesome.
But it's not. I'm not gonna be bummed I didn't buy 25.
It's like 8 or 10.
Yeah, I agree.
Forever.
I agree. I mean, pass. unless it does stuff in standard. But all right. So pass. The next card I think is the one I assume would agree will be the most expensive card out of this set for the rest of its lifetime. It's Crucible Worlds.
Yep.
25 seems real good to me.
It felt good to me too.
But that's only because it's been 60 for the past 2 years.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why it seems good to you.
It'll get cheaper when this bottoms out.
Well, where do you think it's going to go?
When do we think this bottoms out?
Like 17, 18.
Okay, I was going to say I was going to put the over under at 15 and let you guys take that.
I was thinking 15 plus or minus.
I don't know, man. After, and I know it's we don't want to draw too many conclusions from Battle Bond, but Doubling Seasons, the card we also thought was going to bottom out and so on, and basically it just didn't, right?
The set isn't Battle Bond.
That's what I'm saying. It's hard to tell, but it's also not probably going to be open a ton. I mean, we're here in the summer. It's kind of the doldrums of the Magic year, and there's exciting cards in this set, but core set draft gets real old after a few months, especially after a few months, after a few weeks, especially when Dominaria, hailed as one of the best draft formats ever, is sitting right there ready to go.
Like, Alhambra's Archive hit like $3 before it started to creep up.
Yeah, I mean, that's a slightly different, but I'm with you.
But that hadn't really established itself as a... Because Crucible's got price memory.
Yeah, EDH grown a lot since Alhambra's Archive was printed.
Crucible's just nutty. I love it.
Either way, I think 15 is a good target for it. So
honestly, I think this is if all you do is wait for Crucible to bottom out and buy them, and you don't make any other moves in this set,
you'll make more money than anything else.
I mean, maybe you're guaranteed more money than anything else. Probably, like,
all right, Tezzeret,
all you do is hit on everything else.
Next,
it's too expensive, but it's good. I like it.
Tezzeret's really good.
It is,
but he's not $25.
Yeah, great card.
So next.
Coming down. Next
up, DJ really wants to get through this shit, and I kind of want to resist him.
I mean, I want
to... You want to resist me to troll me, but exactly. You also agree with me.
I mean, I agree with you to an extent.
Yeah, but once we get to, like, $5 cards, it's...
Gets more worth
so.
It. All right, so Scapeshift is next up, and this card got very expensive over the last few years as well. $20 right now. Pre-order. What do you guys think this one does? Because this is a harder one to evaluate. Because we kind of know what we're looking at with Crucible. It's a one of, maybe a two of max in competitive play, but it's all over the place in Commander. Scapeshift is sort of the opposite.
This card goes down. This card goes down.
To what?
Like 10.
10?
The only reason this was ever worth money was scarcity. It's like Vigor. Vigor is 20, but it goes to like 4.
You cannot possibly compare those two cards because Scapeshift is a modern deck.
It is a modern deck, but it's like a very, very small percentage of the field in modern.
I mean, Vigor is 0% of the field. You can't compare those two cards.
You can. They're both just... They're cards that were only expensive due to supply.
Okay, so like, what do you think Scapeshift is going to do? You think it's going to be a fifth of what the price
is? I say it goes to 10, and then it stays at 10 for, like, forever.
Okay.
Like, the card, it's good in modern. I'm not saying that it goes to both.
It's a four of. Like, it's just a saying, four like, of, too. That's a thing, usually.
It is, but it's also just, like, a very small percentage of the field in Modern. It's not like Lily or Bob or, like, Snapcaster.
Well, actually, I'd argue it's probably just... played more than Bob right now, to be honest. But that's a weird state of Modern that Bob is not good anymore.
This is a niche deck.
I'm with you, too, and I guess. It's, like, the one of the best linear decks in the format. I'm with you, though, in that it's... I think this card goes to 10 to 15, but I do think that 6 months from now, a year from now, it's the deck getting good again in modern away from blowing back up. Because one of the cards that's gained a lot over the past week or so, 2 weeks, and I'm sure part of it's tied to Scapeshift getting spoiled, is Valakut jumped up in price. So, you know, that would... there could be other factors, but that would suggest to me that there is a non-zero amount of people who want to play the deck now that they can get affordable Scapeshifts.
Yeah, that's all this Valakut changes, is just people who are waiting to pull the trigger, and now they're pulling the trigger. But, like, that number of people will dry up.
Sure, okay. Okay, well, I think $10 is probably reasonable in the short term. I just think that this one has the ability to recover well long term. All right, next up is the next page. All right, so next up...
Corbin, did you know that you can sort by, like, grid view instead, so you can have, like, 18 cards on one page?
Too late, man. Resplendent Angel is up next.
This might be the best card in the set.
It's pre-selling at 17.
It might be, but I don't want to buy it at 16. Yeah,
3-3 flyer for 3 at the beginning of each end step. If you gain 5 or more life, it's turn, create an Angel token with flying and vigilance. 3 and a white. 3 and 3, right, rather. Until an attorney is +2/+2 gains lifelink. So people,
could this be $25?
I mean, I will say that people are talking the Angel...
But I don't want to buy it.
People are talking about the Angel Stompy deck where you go Resplendent Angel into Shalai into Lyra Dawnbringer. That's all good. I don't know if that's better than, like, you know, something that involves Chain Whirler, Hazoret, and or Scarab God after that. But it is good, and I do think it's an angel, and it's a mythic angel, and people can play tribal angels in standard, and that is enough to make me think that this might not get cheap. This actually strikes me as a card that will drop over the next 2 months, but is one of those that, even if it's just hype, could really pop back up at rotation.
Yeah, but you don't buy it at 60.
No, I mean, you definitely don't buy it right now, because the metagame is far too solved for Angel Stompy, or whatever you want to call it, to do anything soon enough to make this price go up. So, yeah. But I think it's a sneaky one to keep an eye on here in a couple months. Sarkhan Firelord is that Fire Blood, right? That's the actual Planeswalker in the set.
He's so narrow. Yes. I don't like him.
It is three mana.
He gives
though.
You mana you can only spend on dragons. Like,
yeah, it is three mana, which is nice.
You can pump out a Glorybringer with that.
You could also play Goblin Chainwhirler.
No, you could, but like I'm.
Yeah. You can loot with it. Maybe like I would maybe see this in
you
the,
rummage.
There are yeah, you rummage. You're right. Sort of. You actually have to discard to draw in this case, unlike some of the previous iterations of that effect. But there are some black red type decks that are sort of black range controlling mid rangey type things that you know would be four of Glorybringers and maybe would find a home for Sarkhan. But Sarkhan's
like $5 next.
I agree.
I think a Johnny's better than Sarkhan, but I don't.
Johnny's $7.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is good. I actually like this one a lot in creature decks. Sort of Craig Wesco type decks, right?
I like that there are two Planeswalkers pre-selling for $4 more than the intro pack they're in.
There's five Planeswalkers in the set. It gets even distributed.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Or technically six.
But there are some Planeswalker deck only rares, and like they're all a little too expensive. Like I looked at all of them pretty close. I like Tezzeret's Gatebreaker kind of, but I kind of think all that stuff will just be.
Well,
I just remember in years ago where there was that one like five mana 3/3 Tezzeret card that like was like $5 because of the first weekend and then never did anything.
And there was one burn card that was indexed for a while.
Flamelash and Tezzeret Simulacrum.
Yeah, those are the two. Yeah. I do like this is kind of an interesting effect here because it's been so long since we've had a core set, right? Last one came out in 2015. So it's been over basically 3 years, right? We have five. Did you say there's five Planeswalkers in the set?
No, five intro deck Planeswalkers and then five or six Planeswalkers if you count any
so clones. Many Planeswalkers.
It's 11.
That's a lot of... I mean, I'm trying to ignore the intro decks here, but just even in the set, it's been a while since we've had that many Planeswalkers. So it seems to me like the value in the set has a lot of different places to go, unlike, say, some of the other sets we've talked about where it all ends up clustering around one or two cards. It can spread out amongst a lot of these Planeswalkers. And or other things.
Plus, there's not an impetus on like some $2 rares that end up a four of in one standard deck to be $8.
Yeah.
Chrominium is like $2 or $3 next.
Chrominium.
Calm down, DJ.
I'm not mad. I'm just like this card's not going to be worth anything, so we don't need to talk about it.
Yeah, like even though
like there's cards in this set I want to talk about. Don't get me wrong.
This is the defender one. This is the one that's got everyone talking, right?
Well, it's the one that everyone's talking about.
Chrominium is not the defender one.
JK.
I mean, its price doesn't matter. Like, anytime something like this comes along, even if it spawns a deck archetype,
the
card itself is irrelevant. It's the other cards that are old.
Right.
This isn't even that
card,
though.
My bad. I got
this
that.
Isn't that
I
card.
Got wrong from the picture. This is just some crappy 7-mana 7/7.
Like, it's a control finisher as
it's
a one-up.
It's just another
Nuzzle. Like,
yeah.
All right, next up is an intro deck Planeswalker. Is Vivian of the Arcbow, is that in the set or the Planeswalker?
That's an intro deck Planeswalker.
Right. Calm down, man.
Our next card is Omniscience.
All right, next card is Omniscience, my preview card. Go read my preview article on Wizards.
Or don't, because now you know Omniscience is in the set. And
oh, but I went on to all the ways you can play it and the ways it's played in Commander.
And no one read it. They're like, TLDR, Omniscience, reprint, cool.
This is like 6 or 7,
ooh,
and then it creeps up from there.
Do you think it goes that low? Pre-selling at 10,
it's
so
pre-selling
you're
for 10.
Yeah.
It's like 6 or 7, then it creeps up over time.
I love this set so far based on what I've seen at the Mythics a lot. Well, I guess we've seen it all, right? I'm just saying this set has so many cards that are the best, like basically the guaranteed money that we like, you know?
They're Timmies. They're all Timmies, yeah.
Well, it's just like, yeah. And I'm just talking about from a financial standpoint, you know, I think Guild of Lotus.
No,
Guild
I agree. Lotus, like, Timmies are, yeah. Timmies are money.
Guild of Lotus is the one we talked about in Dominaria, and then we were kind of split on it because it was just so rare, etc. But, like, Omniscience and Crucible Worlds, those are doubling seasons, you know? Like,
I kind of think Scapeshift could be in that boat,
too.
It's,
I agree. Like, the mythics of this set, they're just such good long-term bets, in my opinion. I love it. I can't wait to buy them all cheap.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you can pay, like, buy list prices on this stuff. Woo.
Vivian Reed.
She's so boring. I like her.
Is this a Hawali thing? Yeah. The thing that copied
No,
Hawali?
That's the other one.
Okay. No.
That is the other one.
She's got three good abilities that I might like in a green EDH deck, but that doesn't
matter. Oh, this is a, like, yeah, this is basically Frey Elise, right?
yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it seems very similar to Frey Elise. It seems pretty meta to me.
Now, the card that Corbin thought he was talking about before, Arcades the Strategist.
This is another, like, $2 to $3 dragon?
All the wall stuff, yeah.
This stuff is
all the wall
great.
Stuff that popped. It popped already, so it's really too late.
Well, has it all popped? I had kind of a...
Snow Fortress hasn't popped, guys. Okay. It's the stuff that people aren't focusing on, which is the less obvious stuff, which is the how you fill out a 99-card deck. That stuff hasn't popped yet because it's not people like, oh shit, Willinets, I'm a genius. You know, all the stuff that actually goes in the infrastructure of a deck, which may not be a thing, hasn't popped yet. And I think once EDH Direct starts getting deck lists and you can start to see some of the stuff like that people didn't catch already, there could be some money to be made there. But I think people are excited about this deck because it's obvious and like... You're like, oh, I know what to put in this deck, but like, no one's gonna build it. People will build it, really? But
that's
not more than true.
I think this deck's gonna be great.
There's gonna be a lot of people building
but
this deck.
But it's not. I bet it doesn't crack the top 10 of the month.
Really?
I disagree.
Okay.
I think this card is. I mean, this almost. I'm not going to, but I almost.
There have been people
this.
Waiting for Defender Commander for years.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. I guess that this is a thing that people have been waiting for. People have been waiting for a bear commander, and they didn't get it, so...
Like, there are people that play, like, Angus McKenzie and, like, shit over this. Or, like, Feldegriff or something yeah. like...
This is definitely yeah, better than Feldegriff.
People tried to make wall commander work for years, like, with tutoring for your assault formation. This is going to be a very, very popular commander. It might be a flash in the pan like Gitrog Monster. It might be a flash in the pan like Hapetra or whatever. So. But it is going to be a. That's
Hapetra's
what I'm saying.
Hapetra's actually. Yeah, I don't know.
I think Gitrog.
Like, this is going to be a long term staying commander. People are going
but
to.
But I think you just wait for EDH Rec to have the deck list because like all the obvious stuff, the wall stuff has popped already.
That's not. I mean, that's
don't,
not. Completely
don't pay
true.
$8 for Wall of Kelp. Just wait to see what people are putting in the rest
I've got
of the deck.
I've got. When we get to pick of the week, I have a good pick of the week that I think is good.
Is it based
this.
On this?
Yeah, but it hasn't. Right. It hasn't. It's a good pick. I think. We'll see what you guys think later, but...
Like, I don't think you should dismiss this commander entirely just because people were quick to buy out Defender cards. That doesn't mean anything.
I also...
No, I don't think it... I think there's too much excitement, and I think the excitement's based on how obvious it is to build the deck, and not how...
The excitement's based on people wanting to build the deck, too.
Some people.
Yeah, sure. Sure. It's both, right? It's always
people building
be
the deck so. Didn't buy 28 walls of kelp.
I also...
They bought one.
I also think that it's a mythic, and that makes this card itself... particularly relevant, but as to what DJ said, like Gitrog Monster to me was a flash in the pan because it won in the same way every game, and it wasn't fun, and it was just a combo machine, and it just did its thing, right? Whereas Hapetra doesn't do that, right? Like Hapetra, I think, has a little more staying power because you build your deck around it, but then your deck can win or whatever, however it wants. Like Gitrog was always just going to be the combo machine it was. Now we start talking about Arcades. It seems to me more like Hapetra than Gitrog because there's no obvious best thing to do with your defender deck. You know, you get to play all these cool defenders with a lot of fun abilities, and the game gets to be very different when they can attack, and it makes a lot of cards.
I mean,
look, you know, in
there's
a new light.
There's a couple really quick ways to like insta kill you with Axe Beam Guardian
because it makes a bunch of mana.
Yeah, that like you there's a lot of bant on tappy shenanigans where you just like Axe Bane Guardian tap for 9 and then you just kill everyone.
Yeah, I mean that's all true, I guess. I'm just thinking of the average game, right? You also don't have black, so your deck doesn't become a bunch of tutors to make your Gitrog monster work. I guess what I'm saying is it just seems to me more like a Hapetra type thing, rather than a Gitrog type thing, which lends itself to the idea that it'll have some staying power.
The fact that you draw when you play Defender is going to be more relevant than the fact that you can attack with your stupid walls.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to be fun. It's just going to be fun, I think. It's just a novel way to play Magic, you know? So this card itself, I think, probably is like $3 to $5 forever. I don't...
It's like... It's $2 to $3, yeah.
Okay. Next up, Liliana Untouched by Death. Interesting to see a Liliana presale for this low.
Because it sucks.
It does kind of suck.
You have to play it with zombies just like you got to play Sargon with Dragons.
A little zombie tribe.
It's a core set Planeswalker, but it's right. Worse than normal.
All right, here's a great reprint as well. Although one I don't think will recover a ton. Death Baron, $5 right now.
Yep.
Was it his third printing?
This stays at $3 to $5 forever.
This was like 20 bucks, right?
Wasn't this in like shards and then plane chase?
It was in shards and plane. I think that's correct.
And then it's a GP promo.
Death Baron?
That's true.
Well, it's not a quote GP promo, but it's a convention promo.
Death Baron?
That's what they call
oh,
it.
Oh, like yeah, the, it is, the yes. New one is? Or are you saying it was previously?
No, it's not a Grand Prix promo like Mutavault. It is something that they give out at a convention.
Oh, okay.
Like, it is a promo that was given out at Vegas. I think they gave them out this weekend to Pittsburgh. It's just like a, it's a thing.
Okay, there, Corbin, you need some WD-40 for your throat?
I've been trying sick for a month. All right, next up, something I can't pronounce. Palladium Moors the Ruiner? Does that mean anything to us?
Nah, it sucks. It's just like, it's like, I've got Hexproof, but so does the other one, and the other one's better, so.
Okay, sure. So
wow, just, there was a real big drop off here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a core set.
What is Aggressive Mammoth? I've never read this card.
It's not $4, that's for sure.
It is
no, this is a bulk rare.
8/8 trample for 6.
Yeah, so is Terra Stomper. This is a bulk rare.
Other creatures
but
you,
other
control,
creatures you control have trample. Guys.
I don't. That's whatever.
It's like I might play it in my L. Yeah.
Vavictus Asmati. Did I say that right?
I'm not a clue, man.
I actually think I said that right.
Probably. You think it, yeah, I mean...
Feels pretty bulky.
The Elder Dragon Legends, like Atale, there's no pressure on them to take any value.
Yeah, exactly. What's it do? You make people sacrifice
the booster pack.
Stuff?
What do you guys think the booster pack is going to be worth?
What do you think what?
I said the booster pack's up next. What do you guys think that's going to be worth?
$3.89 plus tax.
Okay.
Next.
Leonin War Leader. I've never read this card
Me
either.
Neither. Let's read it, everybody.
It's pretty good. It's a 4-mana 4/4. When it swings, you create 2/1/1 white cat creature tokens with lifelink that are tapped and attacking.
Well, that's actually kind of good.
Dollar rare.
It is probably a dollar. Like, it's not going to be bulk because it has lifelink and, well,
it
makes...
It doesn't have lifelink itself. That's life the big issue.
It makes... It's a cat thing, so it's not going to be bulk. All right.
It's probably, like, close to true.
All right. Did you guys know that this next card we're talking about is the best-selling card in the set?
I'm not surprised. Alpine people Moon. Were buying a playset just because like I got to beat Tron with this. But
this card's
like,
not good.
Alpine Moon. It's red. One red enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, choose a non-basic land card name. Land your opponent's control with a chosen name. Lose all land types and abilities in the game. Tap. Add 1 mana of any color. Yeah, it's a Tron thing.
This card's not good.
But it's not very.
It's
good.
It's not good.
You beat Valakut too with this, right?
Yes, I think it's actually probably more targeted at Valakut than it is Tron. It's actually probably decent against Valakut.
Yeah, it's better against Valakut than it is Tron. Like, people think Blood Moon's good against Tron because they think Ponce is an auto-win matchup. It's not. You need, like, a Blood Moon plus a 5/5 to kill Tron. Like, otherwise they just hit 7. Yeah, this is not that good.
They just play a 7th land and, yeah.
Well, I'll say this. The way to beat Tron is to have... You have to have Disruption and Pressure. And up until...
That's what I meant,
up until now, like, Blood Moon is pressure is Disruption, but it takes up your third turn. Damping Sphere is pressure, but it takes up your second turn. The first turn, turn one, it costs, and maybe not even just turn one, but costing 1 mana, this, I will say, this actually gives you a lot more flexibility than those other cards do, right? So this fits on your curve at 1, or if you're playing an aggressive deck, you know, if you're playing Burn or something, right, then you can play this and a 1-drop on turn 2. So
it hoses them less, but it doesn't hose you at all. But I still don't. I'm not sold on this.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be more than a dollar or two. But I can see
so
why
if
it's the best.
This is like an auto include 3 of in sideboards. What does it hit then? Like $6.
Then it's like a dollar or two because it's like Damping Sphere.
Well, damn.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean,
so like best case scenario, you're not glad you bought it in a 4.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not going to go much above it. I do think this card is better than maybe people are giving it credit for because of how flexible it is. But yeah, it's still not going to be worth much. All right, next up is Infernal Reckoning. What's this do?
Bulkware.
Yeah. Bulk? It's too narrow.
Apex of Powers, a bulk mythic.
Oh, yeah. I like Apex.
Sarah's Guardian.
That's an intro pack card.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Or bulk rare, whatever. Runic Armasaur is like a $3 card forever.
I think Runic Armasaur could actually go
up. All right, hold up. You think, let's read this card then. You think it's a $3 card forever. Jason says it could go up.
Maybe a 2.
It'll go down, but it'll probably go back up. I mean, it's
pre-selling at 3 right now. It's a 2/5 dinosaur for 3. Whenever an opponent activates an ability of a creature or land that is not a mana ability, you get to draw a card, and it is a dinosaur. So
does this count? Does this count under the battlefield abilities?
No, it's activate. So no.
Okay, yeah. Then I don't like it that much.
Yeah, that would be a triggered ability on entering battlefield. It also doesn't work against planeswalkers. It does work against Minister of Inquiries. I'm trying to think of standard played creatures that have activated abilities that. This would hose. I mean, I guess you draw a card when they activate Hazoret, but it doesn't seem like it's.
Well, that's the thing.
Far.
It's like Jason likes it for EDH, but I can't think of like it's fine in EDH, but it's never great.
Draw a card off of their Brontodons.
I can't think of a card or a deck where you just actively want to put this in a deck over another card, like another staple that already exists.
I mean, it's got two big things going for it, in my opinion, which are one, the 5 toughness. That makes it very, very difficult to kill. And two...
Right, but it's
two,
a standard rare.
Two, it's a dinosaur.
Yeah, they're going to print a lot of this set.
It's a standard
rare. It is
rare.
A core
like,
set,
in
though.
Order to
people
hit
don't open
five
core sets as much, so we do have to... I'm just going to... Everything you're saying is true. I'm just going to say that as well. But I don't think this is... It's cool, but I also don't think it's more than a couple bucks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a $2 card forever. Two or three. Like, maybe three, but I think
I
it's two.
I see it going up. I cannot talk tonight. I'm sorry, guys.
Remorseful cleric.
This is
people are talking about a spirit deck, ironically materializing, but like, where modern?
Well, it's already a thing. There are several different spirit decks in modern. There's Bant Spirits, which is probably the most well known because of Caleb Durward playing it a lot. Place Collected Company. It's pretty neat, right? But there's also Blue White Spirits, which has 5-0'd some leagues. That said, this to me. It's just a sideboard card. Now, it is cool. Yeah. With Rattle Change, you get
there's
to flash
a, there's
it in.
There's a blue one. Supreme Phantom. I like that a lot better for a spirit.
Well, player. I think Remorseful Cleric is not... I think it's still going to just be $1.50, $2 at best. But it is, to me, probably a sideboard card. You can flash it in with Rattle Change. It instant speed XL somebody's graveyard, and it targets a graveyard even. So like, it is very good, but I also don't really see any case for buying it at $3.
No. Can we talk about cards we care about?
Bone
now?
Dragon. Is that one you care
we're
about?
We're at the point where, like, bulk mythic. Super Bowl.
All right, so what do you guys think Reliquary Tower is going to do?
I think it goes to, like, 50 cents, and then you start to look at it again.
Yeah, 50 cents, then creep up. It's an immortal.
Yep, all right.
It's an immortal card that will survive every reprint, just like Swords of Plowshares, just like Eternal Witness, just like Cyclonic
Rift. Well, that's what I'm asking. Do you really think it'll go as low as 50 cents, then?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's an uncommon.
Maybe it hits a dollar, but, like, sure.
There'll be 3 or 4 of these in every box.
This card's worth a lot. All right, next up, Elvish Clan Caller. This is kind of cool. 2 green, 1/1, other elves get +1/+1. I think it's the first 2-mana lord in elves. 6 mana, tap, search your library for a card named Elvish Clan Caller and put it into the battlefield. So
it's got a dead ability in EDH.
It is a dead ability in EDH. I will say that there's starting to be a lot of elves in standard. There's starting to be ways to make a lot of mana between Llanowar Elves and Marwyn, I believe it is.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, there was the infrastructure for kind of like Elf Stompy where you had the 4/3 for 3. Marwyn, Llanowar Elf, like, I don't know how good it is. I think you just scoop the Chain Whirler no matter what.
Well, Clan Caller makes... Yeah, you die.
Yeah, then it dies, and then your other elves die later.
You have to have 2 of them. I agree. I like the idea of playing elves in standard. However, as long as Chain Whirler is a deck, this looks real bad.
Yep.
Doesn't mean it's gonna. It's certainly not gonna be bulk. But all right, dude.
Can we talk about cards we
care
about?
Yes, DJ. Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
Gigantosaurus is like a $5 card eventually.
The 10/10 for 5.
Yes, whether because of standard or casual, this should not be like $1.50, $2. This is like my pick for card I like most going forward out of like 6 months.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Like, it's a vanilla 5.5 for 10. I don't care. As long as there's no, like, random vapor snag bullshit or, like, tempo-y deck, like, this card's actually good.
Is it?
I think okay. This card is...
I mean...
I think this card's very, very good, very threatening. I mean,
Mono Green Zombie is already a deck, so that it's got that
goal. And you, like, you don't lose Galta, you don't lose Steelleaf Champion, you don't lose Lana. Like, it... I think it's a deck that survives a lot after rotation. Chain Whirler stays around, but he loses a lot of his buddies... I think Mono Green is, like, a very good place to be, assuming we don't get some sort of stupid, like, again, Vapor Snag-esque thing where, like, Hero of Bladehold got held down by Vapor Snag, and, like, if your creature didn't have another battlefield, it was useless, blah, 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 but, like, I think Gigantosaurus could either, it could be some standard insane card, or if it's not, it's gonna be, like, some sort of Leatherback Baloth thing where it's an uncommon, but it's $3, and this is where, like, you want to be with that. It's like, it could be like, it's a rare, but it's $5 because it's Timmy and it's a dinosaur.
Yeah, I agree with some
like
of that.
This is the relevant dinosaur I want to be like buying.
I think you're right about the long term of it. I don't have high hopes for it in standard. Mono Green Zombie's a deck, but 5 mana is a whole bunch of mana in that deck. That deck wants to explode its hand onto the battlefield with cards that cost 1, 2, and 3 mana, and then it wants to play Galta and hold up stuff. It does not. 5 mana is a lot. And by then, I mean, 10-10 is not much different than another 5-mana card. It's like, it just dies to the same removal spells that everything else dies to. So I agree with a lot of what you said. I don't have super high hopes for it in standard, though. I think
it'll be a bulk rare at first, and I think there's opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's going to get
because there's stuff
cheap.
A lot of the stuff's going to go down, but some of it'll go back up.
Right. This card never hits like below a dollar.
Maybe.
Okay.
It says 10-10 on it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Okay.
Psy Mass with Opterist, I like.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that card, too.
TCG Player's exclusive preview card, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, that card is great.
Cool.
Like, these are the cards I think we should actually be talking
about.
Well,
what do you think Psy Maverick with Opterist is going to do?
I mean, it's definitely, like, I think TCG Player's video described it well, not to show, but, like, there could be easily some sort of Paradoxical Engine, Aetherflux Reservoir combo that, like, takes the Pro Tour, like, makes something really interesting happen, and it's the kind of deck that people get real sick of after a while, but it's also the kind of deck that makes this go from 1 to 5 for like a week and a half.
Did you say Aetherflux Reservoir? Is that what you said? I missed it.
Yeah. Is that not the right?
I mean, that card that's, rotates.
Yeah, when you play spells.
Yeah, there's one Pro Tour left, and it's a standard modern legacy Pro Tour. I don't...
Or this could also like, or it's a Saffron Olive thing, or it's like some pro top 8.
The card is very good, like, and I think it could easily see play over its lifetime in standard.
Yeah, somebody does something dumb with it in the next 4 months, and then it's 5. Like,
yeah, the card's very powerful,
and then it creeps back down to a dollar. But like, the card is powerful by itself.
All right,
it survives Chain Whirler.
Let's
really
talk
well.
About
I like Sun Cleanser.
Yeah, talk about Sun Cleanser.
The only thing this doesn't do, and I think it's because Morrow hates leeches effects for some reason.
Okay.
I think you saw that movie Stand By Me where Jerry O'Connell reaches down into his underwear and there's blood all over his hand because a leech bit his dick. And Morrow went, no, I don't like that, so no more leeches. So you can't get poison counters off yourself with Sun Cleanser, but you can do just about everything else. It removes all counters from a creature, and then it can't have counters placed on it for as long as Sun Cleanser's out. Or target opponent loses all counters. And this is experience, poison, energy, all kind of stuff. So
yeah, or not, it's a cool card for sure.
Yes, those are the three.
So yeah. I don't know why you'd want to take poison counters off of them. But...
well, politicking.
I mean,
it's a
very political thing in EDH, I guess. Like a very niche.
Yeah, usually you just take 10 effect at once. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. That card's sweet. What do you think about it financially, though, Jason?
I think it'll probably be about what it is right now, a couple bucks. Mm-hmm. But I think you have the opportunity to buy in cheaper.
Okay.
So I think this goes down, but it goes back up.
All right, I've got two then I want to talk about. Excuse me. First one is Cleansing Nova. It's $250 right now.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, modal effects.
I think it's cheaper,
effects,
but it's a modal wrath.
Right,
I like
it. Modal effects in Commander are very popular. You know, it's not Merciless Eviction by any means, but it's sort of similar to Austere Command. So I think Cleansing Nova is a solid card. It's going to be worth money. And I also say that Fumigate's going to rotate, and people do need a Wrath in Standard. So yep. I think this is a card that could hold its value well, if not... Yeah, I don't know that it would go up necessarily, but it's going to hold its value, I think, well. The other one I'd want to talk about is Supreme Phantom, the Spirit Lord. It's a 2-mana 1/3 flyer. Other spirits can +1/+1. Again, if people, I think people overestimate lords in Magic in today's world, right? If we talk modern, like, things go very fast. Like, they printed this whole cycle of lords that give +1/+1 to tribal types in Ixalan or Rivals of Ixalan or whatever, and they just did nothing, right? Like, there's no Vampire tribal deck. There's no Merfolk tribal deck's not good in Standard. And you have to give something else from your lords. So I think people are getting really excited when they see Clan Caller or Supreme Phantom and stuff and say, oh, it slots into this deck. But the reality is, you know, Lord of Atlantis is good because it gives creatures Island Walk with Spreading Seas that ends the game sort of thing, right? Elvish Archdruid is good because it makes infinite mana, right? I think they have to have something else going for it. So while I do think Supreme Phantom at 250 is good, I don't think it's going to be 250. I don't even think it's that good in, like, I think you'll play it in the modern deck, but I don't think it makes the deck appreciably better. Now, it is very nice with Lingering Souls, right? Esper Spirits, absolutely. That's a very nice curve, but it's only a nice curve against some decks. Against some decks, it just doesn't matter. So that's what I would say is this card is good, but don't get too hyped on all these things because lords are – creatures are just so big these days that the +1/+1 from lords doesn't go as far as you remember it going. So I think this card's going to be a dollar.
And this was back like – some of those are grandfathered in from back when, like, you were making your Merfolk or the Pearl Trident right. worth playing.
Right.
Not, like, all your Merfolk got good abilities now, these days. So.
Right, and that's with everything, right? And we looked at Elvish Clanclar, and it has the ability to go get more lords, and we're just like, meh. You know, there's a high bar, and just because a tribal deck gets a lord, it does not mean that that deck is necessarily better than it was. Merfolk got Merfolk Mistbinder, and guess what? That was terrible. Like, that version of the deck isn't good. So the reason that Drogskull Captain, the 3-mana lord in Spirits is good is because it gives you Spirits Hexproof. And with Vile and company, you get to do it at instant speed, blah, blah, blah.
And that was uncommon.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to have something else going for lords for them to really, I think, make a huge impact. So maybe Supreme Phantom, you know, maybe it makes its way to the deck. It's obviously very good with Lingering Souls, blah, blah, blah. It's certainly not a bad card, but...
but it's better than that white one. That was why I brought it
yeah.
up.
Yeah, yes, I agree with that as well. Although that white one is going to be more high impact in the matchups where you want it, I think it's a cyborg card. So I'm excited to toy around with spirits for sure, but you know, just keep things in check, I guess.
Next card I like is Fraying Omnipotence, which is under a dollar currently.
What's it do?
Each player loses half their life, discards half their cards, sacks half their creatures, round up.
What do you want to play this in?
Waste not decks.
In modern?
Commander. No, dude, it's another Death Cloud card. Timmy's love Death Cloud. Even if, like, you're barely set up to benefit from it, like, Timmy's are going to look at this and be like, oh, man, this is the Timmiest card ever.
Yeah,
I like it.
I agree with that.
It's a Death Cloud. People play Death Cloud in EDH. This card's nuts.
I thought the same, but Remorseless Punishment in Oath of the Gatewatch, and that card's still a bulk rare.
Well, this is starting out a bulk rare, so you actually can't miss on this. So
you can miss if it stays at a bulk. Like, this is... I don't know. I don't like this card.
All right, fair enough. No.
Do you like Liliana's Contract? Because that says win the game on it. And it
I do like Liliana's Contract.
Doesn't make you have to do shit like Hedron
Alignment. I like Liliana's Contract a lot more than Fraying Omnipotence. Yes, I do. I don't like it as, like, a buy-in at a dollar, but it's the kind of card, if you get bulk rares, you just sort of set it aside and think, maybe one day. So this is the kind of card that you don't buy in. You don't spend $10 on two playsets or whatever, but you just sort of...
there's almost nothing that isn't Crucible that I really want to buy.
On the subject of tribal cards, I will say the Mistcaller, people have been asking me about it, the Merfolk 1-1 for 1 and M19 that... sacrifice until end of turn if a creature would end in the battlefield wasn't cast, exile it instead. Not a good card.
Does Chaos Wand seem like a mistake to anybody else in a world where Paradox Engine exists?
What does Chaos Wand do?
I mean, I think Paradox Engine is a mistake, not this card.
I mean, Target opponent exiles cards in their library until they hit an instant or sorcery. You can cast that without paying its mana cost, then put the exiled cards on the bottom of the library. They really, one thing I've noticed in this set is they don't want players to shuffle. So everything's like, look at the top five, look at the top seven, put them back in a random order.
Well, that's,
they don't want people shuffling their decks.
That's a few things. I think there's a, they believe it, you know, some of the things they can do with Arena factor into, they've said that, factor into some of their designs. And obviously shuffling doesn't matter in Arena, but they are also very cognizant of what shuffling adds. And they are going away from a lot of that stuff, which I think is good or fine or neutral or whatever.
I just don't like whiffing. Like, I don't want to play a Wood Elves and whiff.
Yeah. Even if it happens very rarely, I understand.
Like, you can hit better than a basic, but I don't know.
Greater risk, greater reward.
All right, I'll throw one.
I like the idea of Chaos One just with a mana rock and
I just don't like the idea of Paradox Engine.
Paradox Engine's dumb.
Well, it's not going away because it's not broken like Coalition Victory. So,
good point.
Because the Rules Committee is infallible, right, Jason? And they know how to run the format. Great.
Well, you know what? I would rather they do it than like any person whose opinion I've read online.
I'd rather Wizards do it. But
maybe.
I'll throw
the EDH that EDH players want to play would be unplayable.
All right, I'm going to throw a foil out there that I'm saying in general, don't forget about this 2 months from now.
Oh, foil Magistrate Scepter, nice.
Foil Amulet of Safekeeping. It's a 2-mana artifact anyone can play. Whenever you become the target of a spell or ability an opponent controls, counter that spell ability unless they pay 1. Creature tokens you -1/-1/-0.
I don't like
you. This card that is designed to beat Storm.
It doesn't beat Storm.
How does
it
not beat Storm?
Because it doesn't stop them from like going about their daily business until they find their super combo and then bounce it and then kill you. Like it doesn't.
That's not how Storm. Rule of law. The current iteration of Storm in Modern. It's not like that necessarily. It's not like the older versions of Storm you remember, where they're going to draw their entire deck. Like a lot of times, Storm doesn't ever really fizzle, but
Storm in Modern has.
Storm count can only get so high in that deck. It's just not the same engine that the older ones have because they're not copying spells with Pyromancer's Ascension or whatever, right? They get a finite number of cards. Now, all of that said, you're not wrong. They obviously are going to play bounce cards, but. And I think I personally would just play Damping Sphere probably anyways because it also hits Tron. But there's a reason this has a 4x foil multiplier on the pre-sales. And it's just one of those cards that can be a $5 foil that you will probably find in bulk foils from the set or whatever, right? It's just one I want to throw out there. I'm not saying go buy it or I don't even know that it'll get played. But it is they put a lot of really designed hate cards into the set between this and Alpine Moon and... etc. Right, like they're just laser focused on Storm and Tron with Damping Sphere and now Amulet of Safekeeping and Alpine Moon and so on. So just not one to sleep on. All right, anything else you guys want to talk about from the set?
Speaking of hate cards, it makes me wonder, what their intended philosophy is like, because the average Joe who they're trying to get to play Magic with this core set doesn't want to open Amulet of Safekeeping or Infernal Judgment or whatever the removals. Like, they're not Timmy-esque card. They're very just sort of like, I don't know what to do with this. Why is this my rare kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right.
And there's like 7 slots dedicated to that of like when Timmy's like, oh boy, my friend got a giant dragon or like this reanimator monster, a sun cleanser. Why? And then that's
I mean, you're not wrong about that, but I think these are probably designs they've wanted to get into the card pool for a while and needed somewhere to do it. That's what the core set's for.
I agree with that. And Sun Cleanser specifically also just very much feels like a Kataki sort of thing where it's like, hey guys, I'm here to stop energy.
Yeah, a little
wait, what?
A little late.
So like, I don't know, that just seems wasted almost. It's just, I don't know.
I think modal cards occupy 1.5 to 2 deck slots, and I'm used to having to play a lot of modal cards just so I feel like I've got more options. You know, you feel like you got a living sideboard in the deck.
Yeah.
So I think that if something can solve more than one problem, I like modality. That's why I kind of like some of the modal cards
in
this
set. Cleanser, I like
no, it. I'm not saying it's a bad... I'm not saying it's a poorly designed card. I'm just questioning like why it and Amulet of Safekeeping and seven other one-mana hate cards that are unappealing to a Timmy
yeah,
are all
I mean,
like,
that's
taking
a good,
up the
that's
same.
A good point, DJ. I mean, I think the answer is they want these in the card pool, and this is the only way they can do it. They have to print it in a standard legal set
yeah,
if
like,
they want it in modern.
Dude, Timmy's used to bitch that they opened their a land as their rare, you know. So like,
yeah, and there is no rare side.
And there aren't
yeah,
any lands in
this
set
yeah,
at
yeah.
rare. So.
That's a good point, right? These just took those spots though. You wouldn't have even thought anything of it if we just had a cycle of lands, but instead we don't, and we have these.
That's a fair yeah. point.
I'll also point out, guys, Rexage is in this set. Speaking of breaking bulk, I had not realized. Like, obviously, we all know Rexage is worth money. I hadn't realized that it had actually climbed up to $1.50 before this reprint.
Yeah, because it was in humans.
Yeah. What? Humans?
I wish that full art
yes,
foil
it's a,
looked better.
It's a card that you play in
you
humans.
Play, it's a... Okay. I mean, I guess...
I'm serious. You use it to kill worship. That's like the
thing. Really, there's really not an actual human that does that?
There is not a human that kills an enchantment when it enters the battlefield. Vithian Renegades is
it's
the closest
that
you
that kills
get.
An artifact, yeah.
That kills artifacts.
Interesting.
I'm being serious. Like that's
I believe
real
you. Real thing. yeah, so Rexage, Breaking Bowl, don't forget these. All right, there you go. We did it.
You guys want to do pick of
core
the week?
Core set review in under an hour. Yeah. Let's do pick of the week.
Pick of the week. Pick of the week. Pick of the week. Time for the pick of the week.
This is a card that recently got a reprint, and it's down to about as low as I think it's going to get. It's down to the price it was at before it spiked off of Commander 2017.
Okay.
Adaptive Automaton.
Oh. It got reprinted in Commander 2017, is that what you said?
It's
No,
it's,
it was
it's
in the
Explorers
of
Exelon.
Yeah, Explorers of Exelon. And the price fell a lot. And they're going to keep printing tribal stuff, and I don't know how reprintable this is.
Oh, it's pretty reprintable.
The fact the core sets are back... Yeah, but you got at least a year for this to grow. Yeah.
But you also... The thing about Automaton is it is very reprintable, but you don't put it in a product that is already dedicated to a tribe. So you don't... This doesn't get reprinted in
a
Goblin
That's
deck.
It
doesn't get thrown in like a Merfolk deck because they have lords to put for those things. So this is just sort of a generic...
Yeah, it's a Corset card. Because yeah. I was just sitting here thinking it could go in any Commander deck, but you're absolutely right that actually just put an Elf Lord in the Elf deck or whatever.
Yeah. Yes.
So this
the core set card.
The fact that core sets are back makes this a little bit reprintable, but I'm willing to take that risk. This is about as low as I think it's going to get. It's about $5 right now. And
all right, I'll jump in. I'm going to talk about a card that this is outside of my usual range of picks because I'm making an EDH pick here. But I think it's a good one. Sylvan Caryatid.
That's a good one. I mean, it's crept up for a while. Like it was a dollar
the
when
promo?
It rotated.
The promo, by the way, is about to spike.
You think?
Go look. If you look at the graph on the promo.
Oh, because it's a fucking defender.
Yeah. You look at the promo. Oh, geez. Look at the graph for the promo for the past week. The card's jumped up 75 cents in a week after being mostly flat. And it does see a little bit of play in modern, sure. et cetera, et cetera. But this makes your commander come out on turn three. It's not going to get killed. It's, you know, it's defender. The promo is going to pop for sure. That is just happening because we can already see just. We're right on, and especially, and who knows by the time the podcast comes out, but, you know, the patrons who get it earlier, people in Discord, all that stuff, this is about to pop the buy a box promo, and the regular one will likely follow behind it.
Calm down, Rudy. Jesus.
No, man, it's the graph. I love when a graph looks like this.
No, I know. I'm messing with you.
But, yeah. I mean, I am. Yeah. I'm like Rudy, only instead of reserve list cards, I'm pumping Theros rares. Anyway, so yeah, big fan of Sylvan Caryatid. Probably goes at least $4, maybe hits $5. DJ, what do you got?
Sure. Jace Beleren was in Signature Spellbook Jace, to the surprise of everyone. you can find Jace Beleren's on TCG Player for like $2 sometimes. I mean, not all the time. It's not that there's hundreds of copies available for $2, but like the average is $3-ish, maybe a little under $3, and every now and again you'll see somebody chuck one up there for like $2.80 or whatever.
Signature Spellbook version?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Market price on it is.
I mean, other copies are dropping because the Signature Spellbook version exists. Right. But if we sort of guesstimate that this has a similar print run to the FTV product, then it might not have as high of a supply as people think.
Right.
Conjoined with the fact that when Wizards introduces a new supplemental product, they historically edge on the side of caution and print minimal amounts of it. Like, the first from the vault, there's none in existence. The first dual deck, very hard to find. First commander products, like the 2011 ones, impossible to find sealed. So, like, when they introduce, like, a, hey, here's this new sealed thing, there's usually not that many of it. So, like, if Signature Spellbook follows the same trend, there might not be as many as you think. I think all of the cards in Signature Spellbook are great pickups right now. You can find, like, Mystical Tutors out there right now for $3.50 or $4. That's fine. But Jace Bellerin just stands out to me as, like, perennially a $6 Planeswalker that is now right now.
So spring. We think Spellbook was good, right? We think that was a success?
It's fine. It's not, like, amazing. It's not the best product they've ever... It's fine. It replaced the FTV. I don't think anybody blinked.
Okay.
It's whatever. It's fine.
So the way this works, correct me if I'm wrong, you get a foil of one of the cards, right?
Correct. You get 8 cards that are guaranteed to be in the product at all, the non-foil, and then you get 1 RNG foil is one of the cards.
So you get one loot box.
Yes, and I mean the hit is Brainstorm, and the whiffs are like Negate, Threads of Disloyalty, and Blue Elemental Blast.
All right. So the foil Jace is only $8. So yes. That also seems pretty decent out of this. Interesting. Okay, great. All right. Anything else you guys want to say before we get out of here this week? Go buy a Squatty Potty. SquattyPotty.com.
SquattyPotty.com/BSB.
That's right.
If I don't know if this is worth mentioning, but like we don't want someone who's going to make us use their prices to sponsor us. So we kind of had to get a little bit creative, and
that is a good point. You guys, Jason,
prefer that. Yeah.
We didn't have to. We just happened to.
Yeah, we did this on a whim. But, you know, to people who, you know, I don't want our podcast to become advertisement for things or shilling everything. We did this for free for a long time, right? And we really appreciate all the money people give us. And the Squatty Potty thing is just hilarious, which is why we did it. And it's a good product, so that helps. But we have worked very hard to not turn to, especially, you know, in our lives now. DJ works a ton. He had traveling to GPs. Jason and I have kids. Like, it does take a real commitment to do it every week. And we appreciate all the support we get, but we do not want to turn to some of the usual avenues for sponsorship within the Magic community that then require us to lose objectivity of prices. So, yeah, that's a good point.
And before Jason quotes you to buy Cyclonic Rift at $18 from Card Kingdom.
Card
Kingdom's great, I won't lie. And you know that I mean it because they're not paying us. I buy list a lot of cards.
Well, they pay me an EDH rec, but they don't pay me to tell you to buy list to them. So. Yeah.
They're a great site to sell cards
to. Yeah, I agree with
that.
And they are sometimes a great site to use your store credit on. Like when I used like $1,000.
I thought we weren't going to shill.
I will say this. Short story. I was buy listing cards last night. I was logged into Card Kingdom. I worked 3 hours on a big...
Did you lose your car? You lost your car. End of story.
I lost my car because the power blinked out. So what I'm saying is, I know you're out there listening, Card Kingdom, and or somebody at Card Kingdom, and or somebody who plays at Card Kingdom. If you're logged in to your account, your cart should save. That's just a fact. I don't lose my Amazon cart because I close Amazon or because my power blinks out. If you're logged into your account, your cart should save. That's all I got to say. All right, there you go, everybody. Brainstorm Brewery. I'll be at Nationals this weekend, so if anyone's there, feel free to come up and say hi. And if not, I'm sure you'll see some of us at GPs in the future. But you'll definitely see us next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.